Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have yet again to share your word here and to gather together freely. I ask, Father, that you would use me as the tongue of the penny writer, my tongue is the pen of the ready writer, speaking forth the oracles of God, as it were, even to inscribe the word of God into men's hearts. In the name of Jesus, amen. And men's is plural. It applies to women too. Okay? Genesis 3:6. Genesis 3:6. We're going to talk, this morning's message is called Guardians of the Faith. And I like that because I love the Guardians of the Galaxies. You give me a good sci-fi, I love a good sci-fi movie, man. I love, it's science fiction. It's not fact. I love that. That's basically our favorite genre, is that. And the kids have already seen the new Guardians of the Galaxy movie. We haven't seen it yet. But it was, I love Chris Pratt. I follow him on Instagram, Pratt. He's funny. I love him. Anyway, so we're taking the title this morning of our message, Guardians of the Faith from Guardians of the Galaxy, because really, I'm a geek. I love nerdy stuff. So, Guardians of the Faith. Look with me, if you will, at Genesis 3:6. See, God gave Adam and Eve, he gave them a commandment. He said, stay away from this tree. He said, don't eat it. Don't eat the fruit of it. Don't eat it. Do not eat the fruit. They did not guard what was given to them as a proper commandment. Then the serpent comes along, and he's talking to them. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, what did she do? She saw. She saw with her eyes that it was good for food, right? And that it was pleasant to the eyes. It was appealing. It looked good, right? And a tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband who was with her, and he ate. She looked at something that she was told not to take. And when she looked at it, and she began to look at it through the eyes of deception, because she wasn't guarding her eyes, she wasn't guarding her heart. Okay? She was not guarding her heart. He was not guarding his heart. So they looked at something naturally and said, that does look good. It looks like it'd be tasty. Right? Well, there's some papaya in that fruit salad over there. It is tasty. They looked at it, and not only did it look tasty, but it was pleasant to the eye. It had the right packaging. Man, it must have looked so pretty hanging there on that tree. Oh, that looks really good. Like some of the flowers that are out here now. Aren't they pretty? Oh, it's going to look so nice when it's all done. It's just desirable. And then not only that, but it had the ability to make you wise. Who doesn't want wisdom? Right? Proverbs said, in all you're getting, get wisdom. Because you can get a lot of understanding, and without wisdom in how to interpret it, and without wisdom in how to proceed with it, then it's just knowledge, isn't it? We can have a lot of knowledge. You could sit around and you could open up a book on algebra and books on geometry and different things and fill your head with knowledge. So like I watch Michael and he's out here and he's cutting wood and stuff like that. And I think, man, I mean, I look at that, I see that piece of wood and I just see it. It's a big old plank of wood. I don't see it for something else it could be. I don't have wisdom when it comes to it in how to turn it into something else, how it can be made into something different. Adam and Eve did not understand when they partook of that fruit that even though it looked good and it could make them wise, that it was going to transform them. They allowed deception to get into their hearts. And they were led into darkness because of it. They were led away from God because of it. They thought that it was going to make them more like God. That's what the devil said. He said, God just knows that if you eat it, you're going to be like him. You're going to be like him. Who were they already like? God. They were already like him. They were created in his image and in his likeness. But they added to that and decided that they could become something even more like God by listening to deception that came from a sneaky serpent. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is Paul writing to Timothy, and in verse 13 he says, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you." Another translation says, "Hold on to the pattern of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who lives in us that good thing entrusted to you." Guard. Guard the word of God that's been put into you. If you just go around listening to just any old thing, how are you guarding what's put into you? You're not. See, my dad can help Faith with all kinds of math. Every different level of algebra and just, you know, things that make my mind feel like a bowl of spaghetti. But I can tell her, and we've done this before, and I'll say, "Well, I don't know, it looks like this." And we actually had this happen a couple of times where Faith asked Daddy for help with math. And I say, "Well, I think this is what it means. Let's do that." And then Kathy comes and looks at it, and she says, "I don't know. I think that you're supposed to do this." And I said, "I don't know. This is what looks right to me." Faith takes it, brings it home, and her math teacher wrote a note, "Don't let your daddy help you with math." It's okay. We know her math teacher. We know her math teacher. She's super sweet. But she's right, because I don't get it. Okay? It doesn't make any sense to me. But I'm telling her how to do it. Now she's heard the wrong way. Hasn't she? I remember when I was a kid, my dad and I, we went round and round about math. And I told him, "Well, this is what my teacher said." And my dad said, "I'm sure your teacher didn't tell you that." "Yes, he did. That's what my teacher..." "No, I'm sure, because that's not how you do it." "Well, that's what my..." My dad was right. I have no problem admitting when my dad is right. Praise the Lord. Come on. I was wrong. It's important when we're wrong to be correctable, to be teachable. We need to have teachable spirits. We need to be teachable concerning the Word of God. If we misunderstand something concerning the Word of God and we remain unteachable about it, we have to guard our hearts, right? 1 Peter 1:5. Let's start in verse 3. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away." Your salvation does not fade away. Listen, you can't just not be saved anymore unless you intentionally walk away from it.
That's right.
Well, I did a lot of things, but I knew in all my doing of wrong things that I was wrong. There were certain things, man, I got so involved in the occult and old Shirley MacLaine out on her limb. Good Lord, you know? I had the wherewithal, though. I could not walk out onto the beach like she did. Do you know what she did? She walked out on the beach and she said, "I am God." Because people like that find that God is in everything. Well, God is kind of in everything. I mean, he created it, didn't he? So there's an aspect of God that's in everything. The deception is to take that and turn it into something that it's not. You're not God. You are not everlasting to everlasting. God is. There's only one Him. And He is Him. And I am not. But you cannot just simply lose your salvation. You can't. In your heart resides the Spirit of God. In your heart, are you actively pursuing God? Are you seeking Him? In your heart, are you concerned you don't want to disappoint Him? You don't want to do something that's contrary to Him, right? We don't want to do things that are contrary. It's, you know, if my dad says something, I'm not going to purposely go out and contradict him and disobey him any more than my children are willfully going out trying to disobey us. No. Children want to please parents. Mostly. I know you do, sweetheart. Verse 5. Okay, verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power, who, you, are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You are being kept. We're being kept by Him. He's guarding us. But if we just get up and walk out and start doing our own thing, how are we being guarded? We're disobeying to Him. We're disobedient to Him. We're not following Him when we just do whatever the world does. That gives Him no glory, does it? No. Matthew 24, Jesus is speaking to His disciples, and He's talking about the end times. Matthew 24 and 25 deal a lot with the end times. Okay? In verse number 12, in the New Living Translation, it says, sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. What causes the love of many to grow cold? Sin. It separates us. It's like closing the door and saying, I understand what the Bible says, but this is how I'm going to do it. This is how I'm going to do. We have to guard our hearts. So we can't just put on any old movie that's near unto pornographic and expect God to be somehow exalted in it because we see some good in it. You know, we turned on the TV last night, and as we turned on the TV, The channel that came up was 50 Shades of Grey. Right? Kathy's like stumbling all over the remote control trying to get it off. And it's just on regular TV. They're going to have edited a lot of stuff out. But what do you want to see? I don't want to see any of it. Proverbs 4:23. We're going to start to get to the crux of this. Where are you going, Pastor? Proverbs chapter 4, start in verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep or guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. Lying is deceit, isn't it? And put perverse lips far from you. Oof. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and let your eyelids look and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path before your feet, and let your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Years and years ago, Will and Grace loved the show. It was so funny. Karen and Jack, and they were so funny, and it was just, it was hysterical to watch, and we'd laugh. And one day, you know what the Lord said to me? He said, every time you turn that on, you invite that into your home. Not just the home, the house with the four walls and the carpet, but into your home. You give permission. I mean, these people are pill-popping alcoholics living immoral lifestyles that are opposed to God, and every time you watch it, you're giving approval to it. That's okay, it's just a TV show. No, it's not just a TV show. There are a lot of things. They defile our heart. Jesus, in talking to his disciples, he said to them, because the Pharisees got mad at them, the disciples, because they didn't wash their hands before they ate. You've got kids, you say, wash your hands, they come to you, they say they're washed, and they're sticky. I mean, their hands are, how could you possibly have washed those hands? They're sticky. And they go away, they wash me, they're still sticky. You know, especially just, I don't understand. I think he's just got sticky skin. You know? And it's just, you know, he washes and he's just like, you know, you take him places and he puts, you know, I watch him wash, he puts like, you know, this big mountain of soap in his hands. And he washes, but he's just doing this. And he gets it under the water, and then he does this, and it's just... But the Pharisees were mad because Jesus' disciples were breaking their law. You know, God didn't have a law about washing your hands. God isn't concerned, and you can tell by Jesus, that's not the issue. It's not what you put into your mouth that defiles you. It's what you put into your heart. That's what defiles a person. Adam and Eve were defiled the moment they began listening to that serpent and decided that it looked good. It looked good. It looked good. You know, sometimes, you know, in your job, you hear about a promotion. You think, well, that looks good. And you just go and you start heading for it. You ever done that? You start heading for that promotion or heading for that new place. I remember my dad, it looked so good. They wanted to transfer him to Washington, D.C. And my mom and dad, they went out there looking to find a place to live, found a place, came back. My dad said, no, that's not where God wants us. That's not where we're supposed to be. It's not right for us. We moved to Idaho. I love Idaho. We were outside Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Man, most beautiful, one of the most beautiful places in the whole wide world, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. But we were living in a place called Post Falls. And we bought a house. We put a down payment on a house in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Post Falls. Put a down payment on. Beautiful home, craftsman style, just lovely. I mean, just beautiful home. And about 2 days later, we knew we weren't supposed to be there. We put a down payment on a new construction. So we prayed. We went to the people and said, hey, listen, you know, we know we put a down payment on this, but we just really feel like this is the wrong move for us. They give us the money back. You know, if we will acknowledge him in all our ways, and say, okay, well, this looks good, this feels good, and you start to move towards it. Paul was on a missionary adventure, remember? And they were headed to a certain place, and he's like, oh, we can't go there. The Holy Spirit is forbidding us to go there. Well, what about if we go over? No, that's not where we're supposed to go either. So Paul starts praying about it and gets a vision of a man from Macedonia begging him to come to Macedonia, and that's where they went next. Paul was acknowledging. See, you can make your plans. We can make our plans, and we can say, this is what we're going to do. But then Paul even said, this is what we're going to do if the Lord permits. Not everything we set forth to do does God permit. There's a lot of things we set forth to do that God does not permit. And what happens to us is that we allow worldly input, worldly influence to come in and tell us how we ought to do things. Or how, you know, well, you know, you should be looking for the next promotion. No, but you should be expecting one. You should be looking for the next big job. No, you should be where you're at, enjoying whatsoever things you have. And then if the Lord puts on your heart to do something different, you do that. What?
You looked at Tammy.
I'm not looking at anybody. Gaze straight ahead. Fix your gaze straight ahead. What you're looking at. What your focus is on. You know, on horses, they put blinders on them so they don't get distracted by to the left and to the right. This is exactly the same image that God is giving us. What should we be looking at? We should be looking at His Word. We should be looking at His promises. We don't need to be looking to the left and to the right. We don't need to be led by television shows and news. You know, I don't watch the news. Any channel you put it on, man, I'm telling you, it just, after about 30 minutes, there's so much anger and hostility. And, I mean, people talking bad about this person and people talking bad about that person. I mean, you come away, you just hate everybody. You just hate them all. They're just so mean. And they don't have anything nice to say about anybody except their neighbor, who agrees with them about everything. And they just sit together and hate on everybody else. I don't care what channel it is. I don't do it. I read some headlines sometimes, but Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. There is what we refer to as the gates of the heart. The gates of the heart. The gates of the heart are the things you see. Remember, Adam and Eve saw, right? That was their biggest deception, was what they saw. They saw something and it got into them. So we have our eye gates, our ear gates, and our mouth gate. See, Jesus was more concerned about what was coming out of your heart, which is fed by your mouth and your eyes and your ears, than he was about picking up food with dirty hands. Come on, we're all dirt, made from the dirt. God made the dirt don't hurt. Right? You can eat with dirty hands, it ain't going to kill you. There's actually a lot of study that indicates that if you allow some dirt, it actually helps build up your immune system. People who garden and get into the dirt, they actually have a healthier life. They're not depressed. They're healthy. They get that dirt. Come on. Dirt is good for you. It's good to get dirty. That's why we let our kids get dirty. Go outside and play. Get dirty. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, and in everything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. I want my heart and my mind guarded. I don't want to just... Not everybody gets to tell me what I can believe. People just don't. You ought not just let anybody just tell you what to believe. Len was here last week, and I so much appreciate him. And he says, you know, talking about some TV preachers. Now, you know... God bless Joel Osteen. He sure gets a bad rap. I mean, his son is graduating from Texas A&U or something like that, and it's the Texas Longhorns. And so he and his son do this sign, which is the sign for the Texas Longhorns. And every religious fanatic out there goes bonkers that he's giving the sign of Satan. I mean, come on. You know, everything everybody does isn't good, and everything everybody does isn't bad. Most of us have got a good combination of good and bad working in us. You know, I mean, it's the simple truth, because you've got your flesh. We've got our unrenewed carnal minds combating with us all the time. But it's up to us to guard. What does Scripture tell you? Listen, one thing that helps clarify everything in Bible study is that all the Bible is for you, all the Bible is to you, but not all the Bible is about you. The most important things that we can find about ourselves is going to be in the New Testament, in the epistles. Paul, who was a Pharisee, the Pharisee of Pharisees, his righteousness surpassed by none. These are things he says, right? Spent 14 years in the wilderness with Jesus, and from that, we get these letters that he writes to the church, for the church, about the church. We are the church. Are you the church? Yes, we are the church. Guard your heart. Mark 4. Yeah, that's one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible right there, is Mark chapter 4. When I first saw, when Mark said, wrote that Jesus had said, if you don't understand this parable, how are you going to understand any of the other parables? And I've taught that here a couple of times. So don't ask me to go over it again right now. I don't have time. There's not time for that. Okay. The parable of the seed and the sower, remember? The sower went out sowing seed. Jesus said the seed was what?
The word.
The word. Our receiving of the word will dictate how we live our lives. If you are rocky, stony, hard ground, have you ever seen seed bounce off of hard, stony, rocky ground? Man, I mean, it doesn't catch at all. Not even for a moment. Sometimes it'll get down there in the rocks, get enough rain and some sunlight, and it'll grow. But man, it gets in the heat of the day. What happens to it? It wilts and dies. Isn't that exactly what Jesus said? So some of us, you know, we get the word of God, and then a problem comes up that causes us to be under heat and pressure, and it kills the word that's even sown into our hearts. So even that has a shelf life if it's not properly put in the ground in the right soil. Okay? Okay, Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 20. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word accept it and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Also he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? How many of you have a lamp and you just hide it when it's on? Right? I mean, what's the point? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. This is important. If anyone has ears, let him hear. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use it, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him will be given more. But whoever does not have, even what he does have, will be taken away from him. What do we hear? What are we listening to? Can we listen to music that is filled with hate and violence? And not be filled with hate and violence. Be careful what you hear, because what you hear is going to fill you. It's going to fill your heart. It's going to fill your heart. Do you know, in these Islamic countries, they train their children as early as they can to start hating Jews. So what do they do all their life? They hate Jews. Why? Because mommy and daddy told you Jews are evil. So you grow up your whole life. Mommy and daddy were poor. Well, we just never did get ahead. Mommy and daddy are drug addicts. What are you going to be? You grew up from that. You grew up listening to vile conversations. Because that's what that is. God didn't intend for us to be poor. Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. What has to happen to your soul? Your soul has to prosper. What is your soul? Your soul is your mind, your will, your intellect, your thoughts, your emotions. If that starts to prosper and grow in God, what's going to happen to you? You're going to prosper and be in health. You're going to have a full life. Going back to Joel Osteen, he's got a book. It's called Your Best Life Now. Do you know he doesn't write that set apart from God at all? It's set on the promises of God. God wants us to have a good life. I want my kids to have a good life. Do I want my kids to live in poverty? No. Do I want them to lack and go without? No. Beloved, I pray above all things that you may prosper and be in health. That is the heart cry of God. That is the reason that Jesus came, was to drag us out of the depths of hell, of poverty and darkness and lack, to give us a better life. That you may abound in all things. That you might have life and that more abundantly. Now don't get me wrong. There are preachers out there who say if you'll send $1,000, God's going to bless you and he's going to give you increase. No, that's not how it works. It absolutely doesn't work that way. If I ever stand up here and say if you'll just sow this much money into the church, God's going to bless you. You gather together and vote me out. You know what I'm saying? Because that's not right. That's not how it works. God blesses his children due to their obedience to following him and to getting into his word and changing your mind from the devil's way of thinking to his way of thinking. See, all around us is the world. We're told that there are many voices in the world and none without consequence. But the voice that we're to listen to is the voice of the word of God. If I just put on any old show, so I can't watch a horror show. Man, that stuff gets in me and it freaks me out. When I was Josiah's age, I could never have watched Jurassic Park. But that's me. Josiah looks at it and he says, Daddy, are people meat? Well, to a dinosaur, yeah.
People are meat.
Okay, so when the dinosaurs eat people, they're just eating meat. Yeah. Okay. I mean, to him, it's no big deal. To me, I'd have been like, oh, you know, sometimes, you know, when I would watch Jurassic Park, the first one, and they're all in that Jeep, and the glass of water starts to quake. I'm like, oh, my God. No. Cover my eyes. Cover my ears. I don't want to hear it. Remember the old song, if you grew up in church, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above, he is looking down with love. So be careful, little ears, what you hear. Right? That's a really good biblical song. I'm not suggesting we do it for worship. But we have to be careful what we listen to, who we listen to, how much we listen to. I love the Beach Boys. Oh, I love the Beach Boys. But you know, I can't listen to it all the time because then I start waking up and all I can hear is the Beach Boys going on in my head. Is that how God wants me to live my life, with the Beach Boys playing in my head? No. We went through and we watched Eureka. That's, most people don't know what it is. We went through and watched that. Man, I love that show. I just like, man, I wish there was more. But what have I done? I have fed on it. And now my body, my soul wants more of it. Be careful what you feed your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it flow the issues of life. Out of your heart, what you put in your heart, what you put in your mind. What are we feeding on? You know, someone said you are what you eat. I wish I looked like kale. I really do. And I love kale, but I don't eat enough of it. So I don't look like kale. I look more like a loaf of bread. Okay? It's like my dad. I mean, he watches carefully what he eats. He only has red meat like once a week, a hamburger once a month. He exercises and walks every day, one or the other. Even with his knee hurting, some days he can barely do it, but he gets out and does it. He's disciplined in the right things to do. He's careful about what he lets in his body. Has been all his life. Psalm 141:3. That's a lot of scripture. Pastor, yours is a lot of scripture. Well, that's better than just getting up here and giving you a self-help message, right? I don't need a self-help message. I need the Bible. I need scripture. Psalms 141, verse 3. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Oh, my goodness, the things we can say. Oh, our mouths open and out come all kinds of... And Jesus said, can good water and bitter water come out of the same... No. What are we putting in our hearts? Sometimes, man, I'm telling you what, you find out sometimes without even realizing it, you've let something in because it pops out your mouth. Like, whoa, where'd that come from? And you realize you let it in somewhere. Something you're watching, something you're reading, something you're doing, someone you're hanging out with has said something. And now it got into you because you didn't put a guard. I'm going to tattle on myself. Several years ago, he was 3 or 4, and we were driving through the Costco parking lot in Santa Maria. And this guy comes whipping through and cuts me off, and I use a cuss word. The three-letter one with two S's in it. And, I don't know, about 3 minutes later, Josiah said it. I was mortified. I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to die. I can't. My 4-year-old son has just said this word because I said it. And I implored him, don't say that. You can't say that. Well, why not? Because it's a bad word. But you said it. I know, and Daddy was wrong. So, I can't tattle on you. I don't know what you've done. I only know what I've done. And a few minutes later, he said it again. I said, Josiah, please don't ever say that word again. And we argued back and forth about it for a little bit. I don't know, about a half hour went by, and he said it again. And I turned to him, and I said, don't you say that word again. Don't you let that word out of your mouth ever again. He's been good so far as I know. It only takes one time to hear something, and it gets in you. It only takes one time to see something, and it gets in you, and it becomes a part of you. See, the Word of God, we're told to have it grafted into us. Can we have the Word of God and the world grafted into us simultaneously? We can't. We're called to a higher standard than that. I can't just live any old way I want to. Man, I wanted to sleep in today. So much. When I've got this sunburn and I'm tired, like, I've got lots of reasons to. And if I weren't the pastor, I would. See, you aren't the only one who feels that way. It's been a long week. I'm tired. But Scripture tells us not to forsake the assembling together, as is the habit of some. We're not supposed to not assemble together. And I'm not saying you don't take vacations, you don't take a Sunday off, or you go here or go there. But I mean, man, there are people who, I mean, it's their habit not to go to church. But it's their habit to sit in front of movies that glorify the devil and not God. Ephesians 4:29. We have got to be careful what we listen to. I remember years ago, I was in Teen Challenge, and I was in my upper bunk because that's the lot I drew. And I woke up 3 times that night, and every time the Lord said, let no unwholesome word whatsoever is come out of your mouth. And I thought, and he said, Ephesians 4:29 through 31. And I was just new to studying Scripture, and I went and looked at it. You know, that's what it said. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. Edification is building up. So how should we be speaking to each other? Oh, we should be speaking like Paul said over there in Ephesians 5, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Building one another up. Be being filled with the Holy Ghost. Speaking in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Praying in tongues. Man, I'm telling you what, when you're having a hard time, if you pray in tongues, it's going to help you so much. It's going to help you get over the hump. It's going to help you get past whatever it is you're going through. Because what? Paul said that God gave us the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues to edify us. Do we ever need to stop being edified?
No,
we don't ever need to stop being edified. Jesus said in Mark, he said, you're going to speak in tongues. And you're going to cast out devils. You're going to do those things. Does that ever end?
No.
Should we still be casting out devils?
Yes,
sir. Should we still be speaking in tongues? Uh-huh. Mark chapter 11 says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. That's active faith. Does believing for something by faith ever cease?
No.
It's who we are. We're the people of faith. We're the people of God. If you have faith of a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain. Does that ever end? Listen, I don't need to cast any mountains into the sea, but we've got mountains we're working on right now. We're building, we're moving, and we're causing things to happen. Sometimes you don't see it in the natural for a very long time. We went years with the promise that we were going to have a son and name him Josiah. Lost one along the way. But we never stopped believing. Like Journey. Don't stop believing. But you don't want to just hold on to a feeling. Yeah, exactly, like with Tinkerbell. Faith wanted a dog. I did not want a dog. Dogs are work. When you want to go someplace, you have to do something with the dog. They need to be fed. They need to be walked, which apparently, according to my dad, our dog is underwalked because he gets tired when he goes for walks. Every Sunday after church, Faith Sunday School teacher would say to us, Faith had a prayer request again today. For the dog? Uh-huh. Yes, she's still believing for a dog. Every night before bed. All right, Faith. It's your turn. You pray. God, I want a dog.
Change
Daddy's heart so I can have a dog. See, sometimes God's working on hearts. He's not going to override my will and make me do something against my will. But he can soften my heart. I've told this story before. I had this guy when I was in Teen Challenge, and he was one of those. He was probably, you know, big man on campus in high school, and everybody loved him. And, you know, he's just, you know, he's this blonde, blue-eyed, good-looking guy, and just, you know, he's, you know, oozes machismo. I do not. And this guy, man, he was irritating. He was so annoying. And I thought, I don't like him. I better start praying for him. So I started praying for him. A couple months later, all of a sudden, Gary doesn't bother me so much anymore. After another month or so, I kind of liked Gary. Who changed? I did. I'm the one who needed changing. When it comes to situations, you know, it's not always the other person. They're just unsaved and heathen, and they're just, oh, come on. What's our perception? We need to change. Okay, Luke 8:18. This is the same events as Mark chapter 4. We'll start in verse 16 that we just read. No one, when he has a lit lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but he sets it on a lampstand that those who enter might see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken away. Be careful what you listen to. We've got to be careful what we see, what we watch. We can't just watch anything and expect to have a glorious life. Expect for our lives to be an example to others of the goodness of God. We have to be careful what we hear. Because if what we're hearing isn't light, but darkness, it will be revealed in us that it's darkness. We must be careful what we see. We must be careful what we say. We must be careful what we hear. You must guard your heart. You are the guardian of your heart. You are the guardian of what comes in. I can't protect you. I can't protect anybody. I can pray for you, man. I pray for you. I did this week. I went up for a prayer drive. And I prayed for you all. Most of you, all by name. And specifically for God to bless you when I'm out on my drive. But I can't pray that God is going to just supernaturally intervene and cause things to happen for you for good. We each individually, every single one of us, has to believe God for those things. Ephesians 6:18. Back and forth, Pastor, back and forth. Can't you just stick with this? Start verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, with which no one will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take up the shield of faith. In ancient Rome, there was this thing called a pseudum. I think that's how they pronounce it. And it's this giant shield, and it was made with wood, and then it had leather that went around it, and then it was treated. And it was the height of the person, and went all the way around. And they would carry this thing. And they could walk in, and the fiery darts of the enemy would come flying at them. Without it, you cannot protect yourself. Without the shield of faith. What is the shield of faith? The shield of faith is what you believe. If you believe that bad things are always going to happen to you, it will. If you believe that God's going to bless you, it will. If you believe that you're going to be a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, you will. But if you believe this is just the way it's always been with my family, then that's what you're going to get. If you just believe any old thing that you watch on TV or any old thing that you listen to, you're going to get. If you listen to people talk, and I mean, they're just, I've seen some of these forums on Facebook and different ones. Man, I'm telling you what, some of these people are just mean. Just mean. And if you try to tell them they're just being mean, they get mean and tell you they're not being mean. You know, my Bible says, touch not God's anointed. If somebody's a believer, don't you go around talking bad about them. What does that do for you? That opens you up, just like a can. They're going to open you up and pour right into you all that vile and meanness. And then when we look at you and you look like this all the time, we know what you've been watching and what you've been listening to. It's the truth. If you eat a lemon, you look like this. Most people who gossip look like this, don't they? Careful what you listen to. Careful what you watch. Guard your heart. You are the guardian of your heart. You are the guardian of your faith, of what you believe. Faith is what you believe. If you believe that God's going to bless you, He's going to bless you. He'll find ways to do it. If you'll walk in obedience with him, the Bible actually tells you that if you'll walk in obedience with him, the blessings of God will come upon you and overtake you. I used the description. I said, you're in a little old clunker Volkswagen Bug. Okay? And up coming behind you is a Dodge shiny black Dodge Charger. Whoosh! It just came up upon you and overtook you, didn't it? It's like that police car. You know, there's a reason why they're faster than you. They're going to come upon you and overtake you. The blessings of God, if we'll walk in obedience, if we'll renew our minds, if we'll get our minds right on the things of God and start casting off. I told this morning in pre-service prayer, it's Roy Hicks, I believe, and I'll find it. But the vision was, and he had it three times in one night. Three times in one night he had this vision. In this vision, he saw the earth, and there was this giant asleep on the earth. And the giant began to stand up and started shaking stuff off and stood up. And when he stood up, his feet reached to the east and the west. And he raised up his hands and gave one final shake, and all of the worldliness that was on him came off. And he was glorified. And then he lifted up off the earth. I want to be part of that. And shaken off the worldly stuff. I trust you do too. But it's going to take us guarding our hearts. It's going to take us putting aside things that are wrong, things that are of the world, and start putting on God. So that we can be a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such blemish. Amen? I mean, you go through and you read the book of Ephesians. That's what he's telling you. Be being filled with the Spirit. Edifying one another. Edifying yourself. Becoming glorious and spotless. A pure bride. Amen? Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, I just thank you today for your word. And that you are able to graft your word into us. And to change us thereby. So that we can become the glorious church. That you've called us to be, individually and corporately. And I just bless every person here, Father. I ask that every person here would begin to put greater guards over what they watch and over what they hear and over what they say. Guard them and help them to be guarded. In Jesus' name, amen.